Join us at the Chelsea Bowtie Cinema, Mist Harlem, and Teachers College to celebrate 23 years of the African Diaspora International Film Festival. Discover films from more than 28 countries about the human experience of people of color. For more information on screenings, panels, events, and ticket prices, go to nyadiff.org or call 212-864-1760.
This is your radio preacher, Reverend Billy. Now our show is at a new time, Mondays at 5 p.m. on WBAI. The Earth Wants You. The Earth Wants You is the name of our new fabulous worship at Joe's Pub at the Public. With 38 singing radicals of the Stop Shopping Choir and the Not Buying It Band, come to Joe's Pub at the Public Theater Sundays, November 1st to December 20th at 2 p.m. The Earth Wants You. Come let the joyous Stop Shopping Choir pull you out of your seat. Tickets at RevBilly.com. Earth-a-lujah!
Got questions about your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Want to know about the latest electronics?
Yeah.
Are you confused by high-definition TV?
A little.
Well, tune into WBAI every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for The Personal Computer Show.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's every Wednesday on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Oh.
So why don't you tell a friend?
Well, okay.
And tell your boss.
Well.
Hey, call your mom and tell them about The Personal Computer Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Oh. Okay.
I got questions about my computer.
Have you got questions about your computer?
Knock my coffee over in my keyboard. Do you think that's a problem?
No, not for me.
Well, it doesn't mean we're working right, Jimmy.
I'd buy a new one, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But you really have got to be there. It's like the best. It's The Personal Computer Show.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI New York, where the time is just about 7 o'clock, maybe a little bit before 7 o'clock, but that's okay. It's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse. But if they could, they would. I'm really bound for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. I'm really bound.
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Mike. And I don't know. Hang on. The theme wants to play a second time. No. Okay. I'm sorry. Joined tonight by Mike.
Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Rob T. Now you got me all. You went off script, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Rob T. Firefly, please.
Good
just
evening.
Say hello. Yeah, thank you. Kyle.
Present.
Thank you. And Bernie S.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
Wow. Did you hear that? Could you say that one more time, Bernie?
Greetings from Philadelphia.
I'm sorry. Just once more. Once more.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
Wow. Doesn't he sound good?
Yes.
Doesn't he sound... Don't I sound good? Listen, I'm talking to Bernie now. The phone is up. Prove it, Bernie. Say something else.
I love that we now have phone lines.
And I can talk at
the
same
studio.
Time, and I don't sound like I'm on the phone anymore.
This is great.
We have phone lines. We have phone lines, folks. We promise we get phone lines. Yes, we promised it when most of you were children, but we have them now. And the phone number is... I'm going to give out the phone number. I want to see all the phone lines light up. We're not going to take calls immediately, but... I'll tell you, a lot of this show is going to be phone calls from you, our listeners, who we have not heard from. Well, we've heard from you in various ways. We've heard from you in email, when we hold our cell phone up to the microphone. Some of you wait for us on the street. We've heard from a bunch of you, but we haven't heard from all of you. And now we can again by taking your phone calls. So this is the number, all right? This is the number, 718, the 718 area code. Yes, we're in there. 718-780-8888. What's that last number?
Eight.
That's another. Okay, I'm sorry. I couldn't make it out. 718-780-8888. And that's a lot of fun when you're dialing on a touchtone pad to hit those last four eights really quickly. It's hell if you have a rotary phone. I know that because only the one is a quick dial. Everything else takes a long time. I would like to see if our phone lines actually are working. I see one call coming in now, 718-780-8888. I think I'll say 8888. I don't know.
No, don't do that.
Well, saying 8888 is hard, and it makes me sound like an idiot.
It's not as hard as saying 8,888.
Bernie, how would you say it?
I was just going to say the same thing that Rob said, that it's worse to say 8,888. But 8888 is okay. I think that rolls off the tongue better.
Yeah, I couldn't make out which one you said just now, so maybe it doesn't.
8888 rolls off
or 888 plus 8, maybe, or...
Yeah, you could say 888 plus 8, or 8888.
Leave off the last 8 for... I don't know why.
For eating.
I see we have a bunch of calls coming in, but, you know...
Ocho.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Okay, we don't have a ton of calls. We have a bunch, not a ton. I want a ton. 718-780-8888.
So that's good. I like that.
We just got this put in, and already you want to blow it up.
Well, yes. That's just the nature of the way I do things. And now this phone over here started ringing out loud. why is that?
We have so many phones. I don't even know what that phone could possibly be for.
Wow, it has a 516 area code on it for some reason. Oh, this one's calling from the 516 area code. Wow, it's got caller ID on that phone. So don't call that phone. I don't even know the phone number. This mystery line is ringing, Richie. Okay. I won't read
exciting.
The phone number out. I won't read the entire phone number out. And now it's a 848 number calling. Okay, whatever. Enough about phones. Thank you, people, for testing out our phone lines. We have phone lines. We'll be taking phone calls later on, so spread the word. And we want to hear what listeners have been up to over the past however many months it's been since we were able to take normal phone calls. It's also nice to have Bernie on the phone and have him sound like he's actually on a real phone.
Wow.
Yeah, and we sound good to you, I hope.
Wonderful. It's great. I'm thrilled. And I want to thank our operations director and all the other folks that made this happen, because otherwise it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it's a real team effort, and we're happy to say that we got it done. Now we're on to the next challenge. So anyway, following up on something, we haven't been on for 2 weeks, following up on something that we were talking about 2 weeks ago. Is the magic link that Google has. Mike, we were talking about this. You found a magic link that played back all of your voice commands to, what is it called, OK Google? Is that what they call it?
I don't know what it's called.
It's called something.
You say OK Google, and it just starts listening to you and doing things.
Wait, you say that to your phone? You say OK Google, and your phone will perk up?
Yeah, I've disabled it, so you can't activate my phone. But
not okay.
Generally... That's how it works.
Okay. I hit a little button, and
you can
then
do that too.
Something pops up, and I say something, and then I get into an argument with it.
I think it's called, like, voice search or something really boring.
Well, I went to this, on the advice of a few of our listeners, I went to google.com/settings/dashboard, and According to a bunch of people, you have to click around a whole lot to find things and to disable them. But I found that most of my settings were already disabled and nothing was being kept. No history was being kept. And I couldn't find any list of voice recordings. I was kind of disappointed, actually, but also kind of happy that at some point I must have set things so that information about me was not saved. But there is an awful lot in there. There's a lot of settings, and you do have to either pause some things or disable them completely. Just today I was going through there, and I found a whole bunch of little check marks for getting spam, getting mail about promotions and things like that I never asked for, but it was in a hidden part, and I had to turn all those off. But the thing is, and this is the point that I really think we should stress, you may think that turning all of these things off and disabling them makes you safe and private, and it does to a degree, but it doesn't completely. And the reason I know this, I mean, I knew it before, but the reason I was able to confirm this was because there was a particular link there, a particular button, a selection that basically allowed you to click and locate your device, your Android device. And within a second, it said exactly where I was. And this is with me having all of the settings turned off to do that. If you click that particular button, guess what? You do it immediately. So we would have to be fools to think that within Google, someone doesn't have the ability to bypass your authentication and do that to anyone they want. And if they have the ability to do that, they have the potential to be told to do that by a higher power, namely the government, to basically click a button and find out where you are. So, yeah, we can disable all the things we want. We can turn all these settings off. But the technology is there with a single keystroke to find you. And it's just something that people need to be aware of. You can still play with the toys. You know, they're fun. They're useful. But everything comes with a price, especially things that are free. So I think that's our lesson for this. Bernie, anything I say surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me at all, Emmanuel. I don't think we're a lot safer by knowing how to disable these things, because there's so many other vulnerabilities about the information. I don't use this service, by the way, where you say, okay, Google. I use a BlackBerry, and I don't talk to the phone and give it commands to do online lookups. But that doesn't make me entirely safe, but it probably makes me safer the people that use that service.
Well, do you think you're more secure because you use BlackBerry?
I do in some ways.
Okay, can you tell us how?
Well, for instance, there is far less malware written for the BlackBerry 10 operating system. Which is based on QNX, which is a pretty secure kernel compared to what Android and iOS are built upon. And I encourage our listeners to research the BlackBerry 10 operating system and QNX, which it's built on, because it has some advantages over the other mobile operating systems. However, there aren't nearly as many apps written for it, but all the apps I need are available, and it's impressive. It just only has like 1% of the market share, unfortunately.
They've actually got an Android emulator now, which might be a good or a bad thing, depending on how you're looking at it. I'm not sure if it's right. A vulnerability
Kyle,
necessarily.
Kyle has a BlackBerry 10 phone also, don't you?
I've used a couple for a while. But it is distinct in that it's not in everybody's pocket. Like, there are the two big phones, right? And I think that's kind of my rationale. Without getting into it, I like the idea that it's not the thing that everybody's got. And there was, I think, some numbers on that ability, the amount of access Google had on particular phones. And I think Apple's the same way, in different ways, maybe. But
right.
As far as accessing locked phones and things like that, maybe it's a little harder with Apple. But some of those issues cross my mind. And just basically not being on the systems everyone's using.
The thing is, I think you nailed it, the systems everyone is using. People want these things. They want to be able to use various services. And I have fun with them as well. I think everybody can enjoy these inventions and services. But again, there's a price. And if you're trying to stay off the grid, if you're trying to not be trackable constantly 24 hours a day, you have to work hard at it. You have to really try and stay one step ahead, and you're never completely secure from this. You can, I know of people in Google that can do this. They can simply log in to somebody's account and see their mail. You know, there'll be a record of course. They have security measures and safeguards, but the capability is there to do that, and the capability is there to find your phone and to do all sorts of other things. So just let's not be fooled.
I might add there, though, it is getting a little bit popular to run software on phones, either on top of the operating system or entire phones that have their own sort of secure, and I put that in really huge quotations, operating system. There's a small market for that now. Black phone, all these different products are coming out because there's, I think, sort of a recognition of the maturity of smartphones in general and what they can and cannot sort of protect you from, as you know, in default states.
All right. Well, that's one one topic that we're going to focus on today. Since we've been on the air, things have been happening in the world, as we know. All kinds of horrible things in various places. And I'm not sure what scares me more, are the horrible things or the reaction to the horrible things. Actually, I think I am more scared by the reaction, because we've seen an awful lot of pig-headed reactions in this country alone to the events of overseas, and it's not getting any better. It's devolving by the day. We have basically a whole pile here of idiots who have spoken out in the news in one way or another.
We keep our idiots in a pile.
Well, we're going to need more than that. We're going to need a bin of some sort.
They're definitely piling up.
That's
what we do know.
Who shall we start with? And we're not going to go through all of them, obviously, because we don't have time. We're only on for an hour, and we want to take listener phone calls. All right. How about we start with the ex-CIA head, Mr. Woolsey. What's his first name?
James
Woolsey. Yes.
For some reason, the pile of non-idiots for counterbalance, because I'm really feeling intimidated by the size of the papers on your desk.
Slim pickings. Ex-CIA director James Woolsey, during an appearance on CNN on the 19th of November. Was talking about Edward Snowden, because he decided that the terrorist attacks in Paris were Edward Snowden's fault. Yeah. How he got there, I'm not really sure. Maybe we can try and figure that out. There's every indication these guys communicated through SMS and traditional ways. If encryption was used, it was used sparingly. But even if it was used completely, encryption is a good thing that everybody should have, and to blame somebody for revealing that the NSA is spying on all of us, to blame them for everything bad that happens in the future is about as dumb as I can imagine. But he makes it even better. He makes it even better by going into graphic detail of what he thinks should happen to Edward Snowden. He says, it's still a capital crime. I would give him the death sentence. And I would prefer to see him hanged by the neck until he's dead, rather than merely electrocuted. Now, you know, when you have the former head of the CIA expressing his great desire that you be hanged by the neck until dead, I imagine that might make you a little bit nervous. But Edward Snowden has many, many people on his side. And I think that when somebody says something like that, it reveals more about them than anything else. It reveals more about their just utter contempt for humanity and their devaluation of life. If we were to say, and this is just a theoretical, if we were to say, how would we like James Woolsey to be tortured to death? Would we prefer, waterboarding, of course, being traditional and sort of a throwback to old days, or maybe being drawn and quartered, or thrown in front of a train? You know, saying things like this, it ruffles feathers, and people will be like, how could you say that? How can you say that about somebody respected from the CIA that you want him to be? And we don't. We don't say things like that because we speak at a higher level than what this guy is speaking at. To say things like that. People didn't talk like this in public a few years ago. I don't think they did. I don't think you had officials from our government saying that, yes, this person should be killed in this particular way, especially people who are U.S. citizens.
I mean, I don't really believe that U.S. citizens are more deserving of rights than anyone else, but we certainly had all kinds of government officials of this nature saying things like this about Assange and other whistleblowers.
No, I'm talking about in the past. You're talking about the current day. I'm talking about, say, 20, 30 years ago. Did government officials talk like this? Did they say that this person, who we know their name, not just random enemies that we can paint with a broad brush, specific people and American citizens, have we known people to do this? Officials. I don't.
I don't. I wasn't really following the news 30 years ago, but, you know, and these, you know, Snowden is lucky he gets mentioned by name. Most of the people the CIA actually kills, their names are never made public. So,
well, I'm not sure he feels very lucky being targeted by the ex-CIA chief.
Luck is relative, but.
It just seems incredibly immature. And kind of like what the Republicans do with their debates, point fingers and throw tantrums and things like that. And it just goes to show that they don't have control of the situation, and they know it, and they're really frustrated by it. To say something like, I think the blood of a lot of these French young people is on his hands, referring to Snowden, it's the epitome of inaccuracy and offensiveness. And he needs to be called on it. He needs to be called on it for saying these things. There is absolutely no evidence in the world that Snowden is responsible for anything like this. In fact, how many lives might he have saved by revealing the evils that our government has been up to?
Emmanuel.
Go ahead, Bernie.
I just want to say, just to expand on what you just said, I don't think there have been any statements by the CIA or NSA or any other U.S. government agency stating that encryption was used by any of these terrorists who committed terrible acts in Paris and elsewhere recently. So this is a wholly unfounded accusation, because there's no public information out there, unless Woolsey has it, and he hasn't been the DCI for what, 15 years? I don't know. He's been out of CIA for many years.
Yeah, well, he's frustrated, I think. He has nothing to do.
He doesn't have access to this classified information, if there is any information that even says that encryption was used by any terrorists. And all these, I think we should also be talking tonight about all these public officials now who are clamoring to basically outlaw encryption again. This is just back like the crypto wars back in the 90s, all over again, back to the Clipper chip.
Well, Bernie, you're getting ahead of, we have more idiots to come, so we will be touching upon that.
Okay, good.
Rob.
You can't stop encryption is out there. It's been invented. It's out there, and anybody can use it, and there's no amount of laws or regulations that can prevent anybody from securing their privacy using encryption. So this whole argument about we shouldn't have encryption is just, it's inane, it's stupid, it shows gross ignorance by whoever says that, and I feel very frustrated.
I hear the frustration.
Our public officials seem to be grossly ignorant of the facts.
If they could say, you know, we shouldn't have private conversations because that's when things are plotted and schemed, they would say that if they didn't realize how ridiculous that was. And we're one step away from them saying that. Rob.
Yeah, but I think this teaches us a lot, not only about the personality of Woolsey here, but the personality, the organizational personality of the CIA, you know, judging by the sort of person that ends up in charge of them. It sort of reminds me of like when I end up talking with police officers and realizing, wait, these are the people that used to kick the crap out of me in high school, but they just found a job where they could use their bullying tendencies.
What, police officers used to kick the crap out of you in high school?
No, but
in your high school, they were kids in your. Okay, I got it.
So
because these days cops do come and kick your ass in school.
Right, but. But yeah, it's really indicative of the mindset that is behind all this. I mean, the Central Intelligence Agency, ostensibly it's their job to investigate what's going on, gather, you know, quote unquote intelligence, and find out the truth behind what's going on. But rather than that, they're saying things which are patently false, like this, about people who are living and in this situation, like Snowden. What do we do?
Okay.
I mean, the other thing to remember is that like ordinary CIA workers who may. We don't know what they think, but they may or may not think this is stupid. They are forbidden from speaking out. It's only the uppermost political appointees who will say things like this who are even allowed to speak in public. So, you know, I don't really want to defend the individual CIA agents. They should quit their jobs and do something productive with their lives. But we don't really know what they think.
Well, I think this is a good indication of a mindset that's out there, whether it's in ex-CIA people or current CIA people, and it needs to be confronted. And we have more idiots to get to. You know, I know we're not going to get to all of them. Yesterday on the other radio show, we focused on all the Republican candidates and tried to find something stupid they said just about the refugee issue, and we ran out of time. An hour wasn't enough to cover.
There's a lot of Republicans.
I know, there's so many of them, but they're all talking, and oh boy. But okay, let's move on to the next one. FCC chairman, the nation's top telecom regulator, recommended broadening America's wiretapping laws in response to the recent attacks in Paris by Daesh. And I don't know if you guys know this. I'm calling it Daesh from now on because they're not Islamic and they're not a state. And nobody here knows what Daesh means. And nobody here understands what they're about anyway. So I think that's a better name. And that's what they called in that part of the world anyway. Daesh. But I'll say Islamic State or ISIL so people get used to it for now. Anyway, that was in response to the recent attacks in Paris, nation's top telecom regulator, expressing will for this. Chairman Tom Wheeler said the FCC cannot take direct action against Daesh, such as shutting down its websites or social media accounts, but Congress could do specific things, allowing the FCC to assist law enforcement more effectively, and that includes revisiting the wiretap legislation. Now, this 1994 law, known as the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act, and what does that spell out, Bernie?
Kalia, and I'm fond of telling people that I am probably Kalia's first casualty, because when that passed in late 1994, it had an obscure provision of it that was used to prosecute me in a federal case back in 1995. But it scares me that Tom Wheeler, our FCC chairman, is calling for an expansion of Kalia, which it was so controversial. Remember you and I and others in Fiber Optic were at the CFP2 conference back in, I guess it was like 93, 94, where there was this big debate about should there be a law requiring all telephone companies to provide direct access to their central office switches by the FBI and other law enforcement agencies, just like the telephone systems of Eastern Europe provided access to the Stasi. And we thought that was extremely evil.
We have, like I said, we're trying to focus on today's idiots. If we go back into history and look at idiocy of the past that led to today's idiots, we're going to need all night. All right.
You're right, but idiocy is compounding this idiocy. So they want Tom Wheeler wants Kalia to be expanded.
But how would you feel if we couldn't cover all the idiots tonight and give them the time they deserve? So anyway, Tom Wheeler is pushing for expansion of this. Now, Kalia, as you mentioned, provides for the quote-unquote lawful intercept of a suspect's telephone online communications. It requires telecom companies and internet providers, not to mention online voice services, to build their networks in ways that grant authorities easier access to these communications. Now, his new suggestion underscores the FCC's growing interest in online privacy and security, just as intelligence officials are rekindling a debate over government surveillance and encrypted communications. One of the issues here, he says, is the question of what is a lawful intercept. You read in the press that the attackers were using PlayStation 4 games to communicate on, which is outside the scope of anything considered in Kalia, so there's probably opportunities to update the lawful intercept concept. Mike, you have something to say?
I mean, just to be clear, this is a thing we did, in fact, read in the press, but there's no evidence that it's actually true. The PlayStation thing.
But what if it were? What if they were communicating via PlayStation?
Look, here's the thing. And I'm sure I'll say the same thing to someone else in your pile of idiots, but the U.S. government has plenty of mass surveillance. The French state has plenty of mass surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
The attackers in this particular case were, from all available information, using their real names on Facebook and sending unencrypted SMSs, and were not caught by this mass surveillance on which we are spending billions of dollars. It doesn't work. we should take this billions of dollars and spend it on like cancer research or something that actually saves lives.
Space travel,
sure, why not?
High speed rail.
I don't know if any of these things save lives, but at least they do something.
Rob.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Tom Wheeler really counts as an idiot in this case though, because what he's doing could be seen as just something tactically intelligent, which is taking something terrible that happens and that everyone's talking about and trying to wedge it in to justify some ulterior motive and goal of your own. And as this guy's in charge of the FCC, he's also deep into the cable and telecom industry. He used to be a lobbyist for the cable industry. And he I imagine, is in favor of things which involve that industry getting paid more money by the government to do shady things. So I'm wondering if he's really being an idiot right now, or if he's just trying to intelligently, evilly twist something around.
So you think there's more nefarious purposes to what he's saying?
Emmanuel?
Yes, Bernie?
I just want to say that Tom Wheeler was appointed the chairman of the FCC by President Obama. He serves at the pleasure of the president. I don't think Tom Wheeler would go out on a limb on making such a statement that he thinks CALEA should be expanded without first checking with the White House to see if that was going to be the party line. So I think this is an omen. I think this is a clue we have to where the White House or current administration is headed. I mean, it seems perfectly logical to me that this current administration, the Obama administration, wants to do what Tom Wheeler is saying. Because he would not be saying this otherwise, because he was appointed by the president and serves at his pleasure. So that's my theory.
The plot thickens. All right. Moving on, let's get a little more local. Cyrus Vance Jr. Yeah, some of you might remember Cyrus Vance Sr. was our Secretary of State under Carter. But this is his son, and he's the Manhattan District Attorney and an outspoken critic of encryption. He is calling on Congress to adopt legislation mandating that mobile phone makers like Apple and Google put backdoors into their smartphones. Vance says it is government's principal responsibility to keep its residents safe, and that a government cannot fulfill that responsibility if huge amounts of vital information directly related to public safety are inaccessible to the government. In other words, we need to hear everything. Let us decide what privacy is, and just give us all the data. I think that's about right.
I mean, look, it's no secret that the U.S. government is really good at locking people up. And we're pretty safe here in America. Like, there's not a lot of murders anymore. There's still, you know, too many, but by historical levels, there's really not very many. And you know, they were able to fight crime before everything was digitally recorded. They can still do it. It just doesn't make any sense. I really wish I could understand the line of thinking so I could rebut it intentionally.
Well, I understand the line of thinking. It's just they can't say this publicly, but they just want complete control. They want to have as much private information on everybody as possible for whatever purposes they choose to use.
But what do they even want to do that they're not already doing?
I don't know. I guess they want insurance for new forms of technology that might... I mean, look at it from their point of view. We are smart enough where we can devise means of communication that they cannot crack, ways of going back. And fortunately, terrorists aren't bright enough to make use of that in effective ways. That has not yet happened. It may happen in the future. But as you say, there's always a way of investigating. There's always a way of using your crime-fighting talents to find criminals. You don't need to be able to hear every word, every thought. And... to say that having people discuss things either privately or via encryption is going to make everybody more unsafe is just it's a way to scare people to get what you want. That's what we're seeing.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, the reason all these people are making these statements out in news articles or in interviews or whatever is because this isn't really about as you said, Mike, they're probably already doing the things that they're saying they want to be able to do. But what they're doing here is trying to shape public opinion of these things, trying to get the public on their side so far as like encryption. You know, sure, technically inclined people like you or I in this room could put, say, another ROM on our phone and not be subject to a commonly accepted backdoor. But at the same time, will the general public then think we're doing something nefarious by doing so? You know, or can we just go around keep being reasonable about these things? I don't know.
Yes, go ahead, Bernie.
I want to call out Cyrus Vance Jr. and every other politician and law enforcement agent who keeps repeating this lie, this canard, that, quote, it's government's principal responsibility to keep its residents safe. No, it's not. Their primary responsibility is to follow the Constitution. If you look at the presidential oath, they have to, their oath is to uphold the Constitution. There's nothing in the presidential oath that says the oath is to keep people safe. And Cyrus Vance Jr. is the Manhattan District Attorney. He should know what the law is. The highest law in the land is the United States Constitution. And he, of all people, should know, and I'm sure does know, but he's lying, that when he says that government's principal responsibility is to keep its residents safe. No, it's not. It's to follow the Constitution, which is the highest law of the land.
Well said. Well said. Yes.
I, for one, look forward to Mr. Vance's campaign against falling furniture, which is a thing that kills more people in the United States than terrorism.
You don't say. Well, no, we should talk about
I
this.
I mean, I wish to be, I like a, if a couch fell on my head, like, that would be remarkably unsafe.
We should spend as much time talking about things like that as we do on everything else.
And we could probably, for a lot less money than we're spending on the NSA, like, come up with some way to make furniture safer. I mean, you know,
outlook
couches. It's got to be possible.
Yeah, yeah. All right, there are a ton more, but I don't want the time to slip by. I would like to take some phone calls from our listeners, as we promised we would. 718-780-8888 is our new phone number. We're going to start taking phone calls as soon as they start coming in. But let me also say that if you've heard via Facebook or some other place that a bunch of terrorists are out buying UPS uniforms and they're going to come to your house and blow themselves up or something, that's false. That is not true. In fact, that has been spreading around on the internet since 2003. And it was not true then. It's not true now. In fact, the LAPD even reported it as true at one point and had to rescind it when they realized that they had fallen for it. Anytime you hear things like this, it gets spread around. And you're going to hear a lot of it probably on Thursday. You have to take it with a big grain of salt because most times it's not true.
Yeah, Snopes.com, Snopes.com is the urban legend site that catalogs these things and explains why they're false. So always check Snopes before you forward something on that you've gotten like this.
You do have to be careful of them, though. They have their own agenda.
What, UPS?
No, Snopes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, UPS has an agenda, I'm sure, too, but I don't really know what it is.
All right, 718-780-8888 is our new telephone number. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're our first caller. Go ahead. I guess our first caller not saying anything is about what I could expect. Is anyone out there? Bernie, you're still there, right?
I'm still here, yes.
Okay, well, the first caller is being disconnected now. I'm going to the second caller. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead. Does this thing work? The lights light up. The buttons work, but I don't hear any audio.
We hear Bernie.
We hear Bernie.
And he called us.
I'm still here. Why don't you, maybe three times is a charm. Try it again.
Is anyone there? No one's there. Let's try going over here now. Good evening. You're on the air. Anyone? Okay. This doesn't work, folks. It doesn't work. For God's sake. Why do you set me up like this? Add me to the list of idiots now, because, wow, I really fell for this. Bernie, I'm going to put you on hold. Just
okay, go ahead.
Test out a theory here, and now I'm going to pick up this line. See, is anyone there?
Hello?
Oh, you see? The conferencing is what doesn't work.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you now.
Hey!
Bernie was the problem. Once we got rid of Bernie, we could hear you.
Well,
yes.
Hey, listen.
Guess what? Conferencing doesn't work on the phone lines.
2 weeks ago on NPR, there was a fascinating story. There's a magazine called The Atlantic that had a story called, and it's a great title, If You're Not Paranoid, You're Crazy. I don't know if you guys know about this story. Do you know about it?
I don't think I read it.
Okay, here's the deal. The guy who wrote it, he was making breakfast one day. He's looking for walnuts and to put into his cereal. He can't find it. He shouts out to his wife, who's in the shower, honey, where are the walnuts? And she didn't hear him. Later on, he gets to his office, and he turns on his cell phone, and he sees it says, Walnuts are on sale at, you know, wherever, 79 cents a pound. Eat walnuts every day. They're healthy for you. Coincidence? No. It turns out he wears one of these wristbands that communicate with his phone via Bluetooth that count his steps. You know, they take his pulse, one of these healthy things. And it turns out that in the terms of service, when he signed on for this thing, it gives microphone rights to this thing, which looks out for keywords for advertising purposes. Now, you can look up this article. Again, it's called If You're Not Paranoid, You're Crazy. Now, I'd just like to ask this. I'm not the most technical person. When you use, the other day I wanted to use Google Map, and it says click here to accept the terms of service. I don't know what's in the terms of service. Am I able to select what I allow, or is it one fell swoop? You say yes to everything.
In general, the companies that write the terms of service do not care to negotiate with you. They present their agreements as a sort of take it or leave it thing. Some companies do. You know, you have to accept the whole legal agreement in order to use the product. It's also questionable whether these legal agreements are enforceable, but that's a topic for another day.
Have you ever heard of
some of the companies do let you control in some ways what they do with your data, but not through the legal agreement process.
To me, this is very scary. And I mean, is there any way to, you know, you can't disconnect your mic because then it's a cell phone. So, I mean, is there anything you can do?
You can turn off... On most phones, at least, all the ones I've ever looked at, you can turn off the automatic wake up and listen to what I'm saying mode, and that does generally work, but
can I ask our caller to help us with an experiment here?
Absolutely. Does it involve chemicals?
No, it involves you speaking, and we're going to hit the other button and see if we lose you at the moment that we hit the other button, and that way we'll know what's broken on this phone.
Okie doke. So would you like a count of, like, 1 to 10, or
no,
would you like...
Bernie, are you there now?
Musical scales, what would you like?
Maybe Bernie's not there now. Oh, you know what? It's the second call. That's what we lose. So Bernie was there before. Okay, we're learning. We're learning as we move along here. Thanks for that call. And
can I say one last thing?
Very quickly.
Bring back Uncle Sidney to WBAI, please.
Yes, that would be awesome. That would be really awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Bernie, are you there now? Is Bernie even on the phone? I'm going to put him on hold one more time and then go back. Maybe it'll work now. Bernie, are you there?
Yeah. Oh, now okay. I'm here. Now you can hear me,
okay,
right?
This phone is messed up. We can't have you on and have the callers on the way,
I understand. I can listen to them online. I just want to comment that that listener's comment that if you're not paranoid, you're crazy, reminds me of the great Dr. Johnny Fever, who once said, when everybody's out to get you, paranoia is just good thinking.
Yeah, he said something to that effect.
He did.
Also, consider the time it takes, like the investment, the effort to modify a device and make it so that it doesn't do any of the number of things with sensors on it. It's a nice idea, but the time you'd spend, the amount of other sensors and devices and things that are coming into the world would just compound that effort. In other words... Stuff that can track. It's kind of like whack-a-mole. You can try one thing with a device here, but you'll probably buy two other devices that next week that are tracking you in other ways. So it's really whatever you can imagine is possible with these things, and you really need to be deliberate about how you act and behave around this stuff and what kinds of purchases and items and services and agreements, as was pointed out, that you're agreeing to.
We should also note that it is not a coincidence that the legal frameworks in this country permit these large corporations to do such things. They vigorously fight any sort of regulation upon them, and which may be something we could, in another parallel universe, use to fight back.
Emmanuel, we're all hackers. I would like to see a switch on cell phones that would allow you to turn off, to disconnect the power to the microphone, disconnect power to the video cameras on our phones. And I'm disturbed that we don't have those options.
There are some pretty well-known hackers who have done teardowns of cheap phones to actually remove that stuff. But it would be nice if that was built in, like you could actually interrupt a sensor.
A hardware switch. What a concept. A hardware switch to shut off power to the microphone and the camera.
Bernie, what if it was all sensors? Like anything that audio, video, light, anything, all sensors just switch off, bypass.
Absolutely.
Do you know if the ex-CIA chief is listening to this right now? He's probably having a heart attack. The ideas you're coming up with, the dangerous ideas that should be outlawed.
What kind of heart attack would you like him to have?
Oh, that's a good question. All right, Bernie, we're going to try and move on to other listeners, which means we have to say goodnight to you.
All right, well, goodnight. You want to keep me if you are not, or I'll just listen online for the rest of the
We can put you on hold and come back to you in case...
That would be great.
Yeah.
Put me on hold.
All right, we'll do that.
Thank you.
So Bernie is now on hold, and our phone lines are wide open, 718-780-8888. That's our new telephone number, and now we know how to work the phone, so we'll be able to hear from people. And let's please try and keep it brief, people. Yes. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Oh, hi. This is Joe calling. I wanted to address what you were saying about falling furniture, killing people more than terrorism.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook. They didn't use the word falling. They just said furniture kills more people than terrorism. I'm glad you clarified that for me because I was forced to write, I'm so happy that my furniture doesn't take up arms against me.
Yeah, you have to think about it. I mean, how would furniture kill you just sitting on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, unless it's being hoisted up in the air and you're walking down the street and a couch hits you.
I mean, a flat screen TV can hit you and kill you, but it's falling off the wall, so that's falling as well. Is air conditioning furniture?
I would highly doubt it, wouldn't you?
It's an appliance.
It's an appliance. All right, so that's probably another figure for that.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm just, the headline, and this is the Washington Post, so maybe it's reliable, says, you're more likely to be fatally crushed by furniture than killed by a terrorist. And you can Google the article, I guess, and read how they do their math.
Or killed by just about any kind of wildlife there is, including squirrels and wombats or whatever.
One would think with such a serious subject as terrorism, they could have come up with a better simile or something like that.
Well, sometimes you have to point out the absurd to make the point.
They do give a list of other things in the article that are also more dangerous than terrorism, or at least kill more Americans annually.
Just about anything else.
I don't
want to
spoil the article for you by reading it all on the air.
We have a bunch of phone calls, almost a full switchboard here, so let's move on to another one. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Yeah, good. I just wanted to give an answer to an earlier question about why the government is indiscriminately increasing its surveillance.
Could you speak more into the microphone of your telephone, please?
Yeah, could you hear me now?
Yes.
I just wanted to give an answer to an earlier question on the show asking why the government is extending indiscriminately its surveillance capability.
Okay, go ahead and answer that question.
The answer that I would give would be that the population itself is considered an enemy.
That's a good point. That's a scary point, but it's a good point.
Yeah, control in any form is critical because if we're all disconnected or decentralized, that's a bad, I don't know how to say it, but if we're all sort of, we have our blinders, whatever they are, virtual and otherwise, and not cohesive, even especially in spite of our differences, there isn't much in the way of change from the people. And that is how change happens in our fancy little experiment here. I think that's kind of hard. Sometimes people don't understand that might pontificate about the U.S.
That's a very good point, because like we were saying earlier about the ability to switch off the mic on your phone, if people in general wanted that, then it would be worth it for these companies that do this for a living to provide that.
Yeah.
If it's something that people just don't think about, they're never going to just volunteer that feature.
Well, maybe they don't think about it because they don't realize how useful that feature can be, and people like us can tell them this is a good thing to have.
Exactly right. The fourth estate, journalism, is key, and that's why consolidation matters and where you get your information from matters.
Thanks for that point, caller.
Very welcome.
All right, take care. Bernie, we're checking in with you now. How are you doing?
I'm still here.
I know you're still here. That's why we're talking to you.
Okay, I was listening online, and boy, I was really impressed by what Kyle just said. The Fourth Estate is really an extremely important thing, like this show and other shows that report on this stuff. Make people aware of things like, hey, why don't we have a way to actually have a physical switch on our microphones and cameras and on our mobile devices to prevent this kind of surveillance? And these are good questions. If more people knew this was a possibility, maybe the manufacturers would take notice if there was enough public demand for it.
Yeah, consumer advocacy, consumer people asking for things, like the market demanding things. It's a good analogy. It's not exactly how democracy works, but as Rob said, when people speak up, even if it's for a silly product, you know, they want a different headband or, you know, bow or dress on their G.I. Joe or something, they have to speak up and demand it, and that is that's really what it's about. You speak to your representatives, and that's how democracy's ideally supposed to work. So it's a great analogy, and it does, whatever things you pick, they all matter, right? So pick something good that you would like to change, and tell people about it, and get a lot of people interested, and that's how stuff really does evolve.
Going back to the story of terrorism and technology and hacking, I was wondering what you guys thought of one reaction from members of the Anonymous Collective, who decided to go after Daesh, Islamic State, and take down their Twitter accounts, reveal them, basically disrupt their communications. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I'm usually against censoring other people's communications, even people I don't like, because I like to see even what people I don't agree with are saying, because I like to be able to point out how full of crap they are.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought, yeah, you and I talked about this. I've heard other conversations, but I initially was like, yeah, they should shut them all down. Like, I don't know. I don't know why. I guess that was a really reactionary inclination to have, but when I thought about it, I think it's a good point what Rob says, and I think you feel the same way, or I've heard this, that, you know, it's important. You have to be able to know who's saying what, because if they're there, if they've got a voice, right, at least you can kind of get a characterization of that opinion, of that perspective over the long term. If you just annihilate that perspective from visibility, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean it's gone anywhere, and you can't have any sort of dialogue with the people that hold that.
Right, so. Right.
Right, and freedom of speech is only worth anything if it also applies to speech you personally don't like. You know, if you see an unpopular opinion and think that shouldn't be expressed at all by these people, then, you know, what happens the next time you want to express an opinion that might be unpopular?
Well, I'm just so thrilled that we have all these Republican debates, because it lets them speak. And yeah. When they speak, they say things that they have to spend the next 6 weeks getting out from under. If you just shut people up because they're reprehensible or stupid or whatever, you don't get to hear that. You don't get to see what they actually think or what they are actually planning. So while I do understand the desire to do something like this, and also the desire to show how easy it is, because it really is easy. I was on the Islamic State website and seeing all who was being linked to via Twitter, and then who they were following. And before I knew it, I had a whole collection of people, a lot of whom looked pretty much like they were really into it. And, you know, if I could only translate what they were saying, I'd have a lot of intelligence right there. And I have to wonder, there must be people out there doing precisely that. So if we take that away, if we wipe that out, like Kyle said, they're still going to be saying these things. They'll just be saying them someplace we can't hear them. So that's something to consider. I understand the reasoning behind it. And it is, I guess, a satisfactory feeling knowing that you've taken something off the net, but they are, it's whack-a-mole, they're going to pop up someplace else. Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really had the time to study this story with the attention that it deserves, and I'm wondering if you've had the chance to sort of get behind the story and figure out what's actually going on. One of the things that Anonymous does so well and that we love them for is this sort of, like, blustery proclamations of how much they've done and how artfully they've done it. And I'm curious what they actually mean when they say they've removed from the internet 20,000 accounts or something.
Well, I mean, basically 20,000 Twitter accounts have been taken down, deactivated, but it doesn't mean 20,000 more haven't popped up in their place. So it's there's a spin to it. By the way, it's also interesting, too, that the name ISIS, I don't remember if it's ISIS or ISIL. you cannot get that on Twitter. It doesn't exist, and you can't get it. And I just wonder, what terms of service is it that prevents somebody from having that particular name?
There was a story going around about a week ago. There was a woman by the name of Isis, which is, of course, a word from ancient Egyptian mythology. This was her given name, and Facebook would canceled her account without warning and wouldn't let her log back in because she happened to be called Isis.
So another reason to call them Daesh, because few people have that name. Now, the other interesting thing about this, and Bernie, I'm going to ask you your opinion on this as well, but what's interesting is that Daesh actually responded to Anonymous, which is kind of weird and kind of scary, but they actually put out a set of guidelines, an anti-hacking guidelines, so people won't get hacked by Anonymous. It's just, this is so surreal and crazy. I can't believe I'm even saying these things. But this is what they said. Oh, brothers of Tahid, and forgive me if I'm mispronouncing any of these words. This message have reached to Ali Anzar for the importance. The Anonymous hackers threatened in new video release that they will carry out a major hack operation on the Islamic State, in parentheses, idiots. I'm not sure if they're referring to, they must be referring to Anonymous, not themselves as idiots. What they gonna hack all what they can do is hacking Al-Anzar Twitter accounts, emails, etc. So you should follow the instructions below to avoid being hacked. And I guess this applies to everybody, so not just members of Daesh should be listening to this. Number one, do not open any kind of links unless you are sure from the source. Two, use VPN and change your IP constantly for security reasons, phones and computers. Three, do not talk to people you don't know on Telegram and block them if you have to, because there are many glitches in Telegram and they can hack you by it. Four, don't talk to people on Twitter DM because they can hack you too. Five, do not make your email same as your username on Twitter. This mistake cost many Anzar their accounts and the Kufar published their IP. So be careful. May Allah protect you and all Ansar of the Islamic State from those dirty kufar. Spread the warning to reach all Ansar. Kind of feel like I'm falling for a joke, but I also kind of feel like maybe this is real. And wow, it's something else. Bernie, what's your opinion on all this?
This is like the Twilight Zone. It's really just a surreal thing, as you said. With you've got the so-called self-proclaimed Islamic State debating Anonymous, which just could be anybody in their basement. But what intrigues me is that whoever said they were with Anonymous that revealed some 20,000 Twitter accounts to Twitter and said, hey, these are all being operated by ISIS or whatever they want to call themselves. And Twitter just took them all down. I mean, they couldn't possibly have time to verify that they're all being used by this terrorist organization. And that's just ludicrous. So this is really a coup, Anonymous, and I'm wondering why Twitter thought that, I guess, it was a big liability, and they just played it safe and took all these accounts down without checking everything.
Well, also, if that is the case, Bernie, just if anyone who is involved in this is listening, if I could just ask, if you could, next time you give a list of 20,000 accounts to Twitter to take down, could you find and include ex-CIA Director James Woolsey's account? I would like that ever so much, and it would be really, really fun to...
Speaking of CIA, what also intrigues me is that I'm sure if these were actual Twitter accounts used by ISIS or whatever they are, I'm sure the CIA was monitoring them. And then if Twitter all took them down, then that's denying intelligence to organizations that are tracking this terrorist organization. So this whole thing is just bizarre.
Absolutely, definitely. All right, we are pretty much out of time. So any last words, please say them now.
Those of you celebrating Thanksgiving, have a happy one.
Yes, indeed. Have a happy, Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. I'm a little distracted because our outro is not working. It's not coming across this channel here.
I just wanted to report. We'll talk about it again. The exciting, Librarian of Congress ruling about DMCA exceptions. A couple weeks ago, we didn't get to talk about it, but a couple weeks ago they changed some of the exceptions with automobiles and farm agricultural machinery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, you can hack your car's computer now. Actually, it's actually going to be implemented over the course of a year, or after a year, then you'll be able to. We'll have another couple stories about that and cover it in weeks to come, I am sure. because there's some differing opinions about why it's taking so long to implement that, because in the wake of all these vehicle scandals and stuff, it really is critical that people can modify and look at this stuff, especially with manufacturers putting bogus software and other wonderful things in consumer goods. So that's one, I guess, sort of win that is kind of neat. That's kind of cool. We can look at our vehicles' code now and learn.
As you can hear, I've gotten the outro to work, finally. We're out of time. Write to us, oth@2600.com. We'd love to hear your feedback on the things we've discussed. And something we can say we have not been able to say in quite a while, we'll be back next week with another edition of Off the Hook. Good night.
Right, it's 8 o'clock, and you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM, also streaming on the web at WBAI.org. It is November the 25th, 2015, and that means it's time. It's Wednesday, so it's time for the personal computer shoot, and we've got telephony, right, Hank?
Yes, welcome to the Personal Computer Show, and I don't quite hear myself. Am I on?
Of course you're on.
You're on. Can you just...
How about if you turn the volume up over here?
Okay, we'll turn up the volume.
How about that?
Yeah, that's better. Hey, listen, world. Hello, world out there. Welcome to the Personal Computer Show, and a big shout-out to all the listeners, and loyal listeners at that,
yes,
who have been patiently waiting for the past 7 months for us to get the phone lines in, so that you can start doing call-ins to the show. And we're going to be taking phone calls much earlier than that we used to. And,
really?
Of course, we haven't been doing it for 7 months. And we'll let you know when we start taking phone calls. But let me give you the phone number now. 718-780-8888. That's it. You know, 8888 is a good karma number. You know that. And, you know, in Chinese culture...
Could you give that number again, please?
718-780-8888. 8888.
So what were you saying about the Chinese and karma?
Well, they fight for that eight, the numbers eight, because it represents good fortune and good karma. And
8 or 8888?
888, 888, 8888, you know, anything with eights, okay? So let me just go through a quick introduction, and we have telephones, and let's hope that it works, because there are some minor glitches. We have Joe King on remote. Joe, good to have you on the air, and hopefully you sound a lot better with the telephones.
Well, the one thing I can say is my phone sounds just great. Stevie, can you boost the gain on your mic?
Yes, I can.
Okay. And then we have on the left coast, we have David Perry. How you doing, David?
Hey, David.
David, are you there? Did you drop him?
David, he's there. He had some problems with his phone, I guess.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can get him to join in.
Let
okay?
me see if I can get him back.
Well, okay. While you're doing that, Joe, I'm going to quickly go through our December schedule because I want people to know what we're doing. We'll have a regular program next week, December 2nd, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then we will have a one-hour fundraising program on December the 9th from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., and we're off on the 16th of December. We are. We will be preempted by Off the Hook. They'll be on for 2 hours, and you know, that's it. It's 2 weeks of fundraising, and hopefully.
Excuse me.
Well, 2 weeks of December fundraising.
Oh.
And then.
Is it true, the rumor that I heard that we have fundraising every week?
No. It's just almost every other month. That's
just feels that way.
Yeah, but for December the 23rd and December the 30th. That we regular programming, and right now we plan to be on the air live. So over the next 5 weeks in December, we're preempted in the middle, December 16th, but we'll be on live for the other 4 weeks. And let me, since you brought it up, Joe, we just recently came off a fundraiser in October, November. We thank all those who have made pledges to the station, but we're not out of the woods yet. We're now back on regular broadcasting, or we're just interrupting fundraising with regular broadcasting, and however, we're working on a very austere budget, and we can still use any financial help that anyone can, you know, provide. So if you haven't made a pledge yet, consider BAI Buddy. A BAI Buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using a Quan's traded, transfer directly from your bank account, and it's safe, it's secure, simple, automatic. And it means a great deal to the station to be able to have a continuing flow. Once you've joined, you will receive a BAI Buddy card and tote bag. The card allows you to, there are many member benefits, including discounts, and that's offered by the BAI Buddy. The BAI operations are funded, by the way, you, the listeners. It has no corporate backing at all. There's no corporate sponsorship. I know that, you know, Joe and I talked about it, but... You know what? To stay pure, we have financially, but you know, this is the way we are able to present alternative programming not normally heard on any other station. The Personal Computer Show has been on the air since 1983. It's the longest-running broadcast media show, period. So, you know, if you can support the station, even though we're going to do a fundraiser on December 9th, think of the BAI Buddy. And, Joe, how did they get to the BAI Buddy?
Well, you'll have to give out the phone number, Hank, because I know some of them have changed. But the BAI Buddy is really a great system because there are BAI Buddies all over New York, and many of them give discounts to other BAI Buddies like you and me.
I want to know if my BAI Buddy out in California is on the air.
Is he back?
He's trying to get a hold of him.
Well,
he's able to dial in, but he doesn't seem
he
to.
He says he's there, and he's talking, but we can't hear him. So
I don't hear him. I barely hear you.
You do?
Are you back?
I'm more forward, but I'm here.
I figured you might be.
All right, let me see if I can get him on another
line.
Okay,
while you're doing that, Joe, why don't you finish your thought about the BAI Buddy?
At any rate, for those of you who have a little bit of extra cash this month and a little bit next month, but you don't have a lot of it at any time, you know, you can make a pledge of as little as $10 as a BAI Buddy, but it would be $10 every month that would automatically be deducted directly from your bank account with an EFT or from your credit or debit card automatically every month, which does two things. It makes it easy for you to make a larger donation a little bit at a time, and it makes it easier for the management of WBAI to do some budgetary planning because they know that you'll be making a donation each and every week. And you get, in addition, as a gift, you get a little card that says you're a BAI Buddy, which entitles you to some significant discounts at museums and other places around town that want to also support BAI by helping you become a buddy. Hank, what's the phone number for a BAI Buddy?
Well, they can go to WBAI.org on the Internet, or the number is 718-7... you know what? We don't have a phone number. Just go to the website.
Website, WBAI.org.
Right.
And enough of the fundraising. Was there any news in the world?
You know what? By the way, we may just test out the system by taking one or two phone calls, but before we do that, I do want to comment in passing, Gene Amdahl. He was really the father of System 360, and he was a pioneer, and he just passed away at the age of 92. And what's significant was that he came up with the whole concept of combining scientific programming, business programming, scaling up and down. In other words, a whole system where you use the same software no matter what the size of the hardware is, which is in many ways what we now have in personal computing. And it was called System 360. It was put out in 1966, and he left IBM in 1970 to form his own company, Amdahl, which was then he was building a computer cheaper than the IBM mainframe, but using IBM software. And of course, this drove IBM crazy. But he also came up with supercomputers and so on. But you know, with the supercomputer phasing into to really distributed processing, he sold out to Fujitsu, and Fujitsu in 1997 closed down Amdahl. And by the way, Joe, one of the things I said to you, there were a lot of innovations with System 360, and you said to me, name one, and I said the floppy disk.
And how many of us out in the we may have been around at that point, but how many realized that 8-inch floppy disk was going to become so dominant? It became a 5 1/4-inch floppy disk. It became a 3 1/2-inch, and of course, it has now disappeared. It's had its life cycle. But I never knew that came from Amdahl.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Dave out there.
I could barely hear his voice.
We hear you, but you're not okay for air. It's like we barely hear you. I don't know what we're going to do.
What is that, Stevie? What's the problem?
The problem is the phone lines are not conferencing properly. I had you on number 12 and him on 6. We didn't hear anything. Now he's on 11 next to you, but we don't hear anything. So
well, let's try again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
now,
maybe he's not talking.
No, we hear him talking.
Well, maybe he's not worth listening to.
No.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you back as well. Try to put you guys on another channel.
Okay. While he's doing that,
okay.
All right.
Let me just go into. I said to Joe, we have a couple of really important items before we start taking phone calls, and that's Windows 10. One of the things that we've been telling people is, one of the things I've been telling people about Windows 10 is, if it were possible, download the ISO, and let me talk about briefly, someone said to me, you made a recommendation.